Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing his series of messages on the Gospel of the Apostle John. Today's sermon is titled, Who Cares? And is based on John 10, verses 7 through 21. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
Turn with me in your Bibles to our New Testament reading to the Gospel according to John, John chapter 10. It was last Lord's Day that we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ is the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. This morning we continue looking at John chapter 10. We'll be specifically focusing upon verses 11 through 21 as Jesus declares that he is the good shepherd. But we'll pick up our reading in verse 7 of John chapter 10. This is God's word. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Having heard the word of God, what is your response?
Amen.
Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard the question, you've asked the question, who cares? Who cares? And to ask the question from your heart of hearts is already to answer it. Isn't that true? Who cares? And the answer is already in the question. Nobody. Nobody cares. Oh, to be sure, you may acknowledge when asking this question that there are some who care, but they don't care enough, and that's why you are asking the question. They don't really care in the way in which you want it, in the way in which you believe you need it. Well, today, you are confronted with one who says, I care. That's what we are confronted with here in John chapter 10. Jesus says, I care more than anyone else. Jesus says, I care more than anyone else can. Who is this one? This one who says such things. He calls himself the Good Shepherd. There may not be a more well-known image in the Bible than this image, the image of the shepherd. Yes, Jesus has already told us certain things. He has told us, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. But now here in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The one who is the great I am has come. He has taken on real flesh and blood. this one whom 1 John chapter 1 says, we have heard him. We have seen him with our eyes. We have looked upon him and we have handled him with our hands. This one has come. And he has come because he cares. He has come because he cares. And this one declares, I am the good shepherd. But what does he mean? What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean? Well, let's walk through this passage together. First of all, setting forth before us the main understanding of what Jesus says. And we start, we might say, chronologically in eternity. You say we start in eternity. Ah, yes, in verse 18, that's where we begin. Jesus says, no one takes it, my life, from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And then it's the last sentence of verse 18. This command I have received from my Father. And so we start at the beginning. We start here. This command I have received from my Father. God the Son has received a command, has received a commission from his Father. And this command, this commission is joyfully and gladly embraced by the Son. This commission includes exercising his authority to do something. We read of it in verse 18 again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on myself. And then the next sentence, I have power, or I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. Here, God the Son, who has received gladly a commission from God the Father, is to exercise his authority as God the Son to lay down his life and to take it again. Here he speaks of his death, and here he speaks of his resurrection. Not his death and his resurrection as God the Son from all eternity, but rather his death and his resurrection as God the Son who has come and has taken to himself flesh and blood so that he could die, so that he could be buried, so that he could be raised. But it is the authority of God the Son. It is his authority which is exercised in this commission from his Father. This laying down of his life and taking again of his life, he does as commissioned from his Father, and as having all authority as God the Son, but he does so in behalf of the sheep. That is plain in the passage before us, starting in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus says it again in verse 15. Even I myself lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep, for their benefit, for their good, and in their place. And what we should note, as we're seeking to understand what Jesus is saying here, is that these sheep belong to him. They are his sheep. They are owned by him. They belong to him. These sheep are ones from both Israel and from the Gentile nations. Jesus says that in verse 16, and other sheep besides ones from Israel, and other sheep I have which are not of this courtyard, this fold. These sheep which belong to Jesus are both from Israel and from the nations, but these sheep, don't miss it, have been given to him by his Father. And so in the Father's commission, and in the Son's reception of that commission, the Father has entrusted to him sheep. We read, for example, in John chapter 6, these words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 and in verse 39 and verse 40. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. These sheep who belong to Jesus, who are his sheep, have been given to him even from before the foundation of the world by his Father. We read in John chapter 17 this same truth, where Jesus, there praying to his Father, says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." Here are the sheep which belong to God the Son, come in the flesh, given to him by his Father. And these sheep are in danger. That is clearly implied and behind everything which we read in verses 11 through 18. These sheep are in deadly danger. And yet these sheep have a shepherd who cares for them. Not a hireling, one who doesn't care about the sheep, who doesn't own the sheep. They have a shepherd who cares for them, who loves them, who knows them, each one of them, by name. He knows them and all that pertains to them. And this care and this love leads this shepherd to not only put himself in harm's way, like a natural shepherd would, in order to protect the sheep, but actually to lay down his life all the way to death on behalf of the sheep. A natural shepherd would seek to preserve his own life as he wards off the wolf, which has made the sheep to be in danger. Because that natural shepherd knows that even if he were to strike down this particular wolf and he died in the process, that would leave his sheep open to greater danger because they would no longer have a shepherd. But Jesus isn't a natural shepherd, seeking, as it were, to preserve the life of the sheep and to somehow preserve his own life, even though he puts it in the way of danger. No, these sheep have a shepherd who actively lays down his life in their place. Why does he do so? Because they can be rescued from their danger in no other way. And so he lays down his life in their place to rescue them from their danger by enduring for them that which was against them. And what was against them? Oh, the imagery of John chapter 10 speaks about a wolf. That imagery is defined for us, we might say, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. That wolf is defined for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as the last enemy, death itself. And not just death in terms of going into the grave and rotting, but everlasting death. Everlasting death wherein our sins, which have exposed us to this danger, will land us. But Jesus owns the sheep, and he actively lays down his life. He lays down his life in place of them, and he receives what was owed to them, namely God's settled and righteous judgment against them because of their sins. Think with me. Isaiah chapter 53. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken, pierced through for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. and here. This laying down of the life of the good shepherd is freely done. No one takes it from him. Now maybe at this point we should think for a moment about our conception of a shepherd. Our conception of a shepherd, greatly influenced by Hallmark, is that a shepherd is a placid gentleman, pristine, hands off, looking like he just picked up his outfit from the dry cleaners. But that's not what Jesus describes here with regard to himself. No, he is rough and ready. He is rugged and hands on. He is dirty and dusty and dwelling amongst the sheep, and he dies the death of the damned in their behalf. This is the good shepherd. Calloused hands, hardened, his face set like a flint to go up to Calvary's cross for the good of his people. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. This commission, this commandment I have received from my Father. And so the sheep, as Jesus calls them, my sheep, are thus rescued from danger and safely brought, safely led into the singular sheep herd, watched over, cared for by the singular shepherd. And the shepherd is a risen shepherd who is named Good. Good because he is the exclusive and only one who is excellent beyond compare in his care, his love, and his intimate knowledge of his people. He is the good shepherd. And this is contrasted. He is contrasted. He contrasts himself with the hireling, the one who doesn't necessarily do wrong in verses 12 and 13 because he's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. When danger comes, he runs away because he's not getting paid enough in order to put himself in harm's way. But Jesus is no hireling. Jesus owns the sheep. Jesus has been given the sheep from before the foundation of the world, and Jesus has come for the sheep, and he lays down his life for the sheep. Now, there are two more points of interest in this passage which we should note. The first is found in verses 14 and 15. It's there that we read, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Now, the New King James in its translation of verse 15 follows the Old King James from 1611. And it obscures a very important truth that is found in the Greek text of verse 15. The appropriate way to translate it would be this way, starting in verse 14. 14 is spot on. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own, just as the Father knows me, and I myself know the Father. The point of interest, which I want to draw your attention to in verses 14 and 15, is the intimate relationship that Jesus says he has with his sheep. What's the comparison in terms of intimacy that Jesus tells us? What's the analogy in terms of the closeness that he has with his sheep and his sheep have with him? What is the analogy that he compares it to? Did you hear it? I know my sheep and am known by my own, just as the Father knows me and as I myself know the Father. This is a powerful statement from the Good Shepherd's lips. This is a profound statement from the Good Shepherd's lips. These sheep are not only his sheep and known by him, cared for by him, indeed him laying down his life for them, but there is a bond, a connection, which is beyond description in terms of closeness between Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and his sheep. I know my own, and I am known by my own, just as the Father knows me, and I know him. The closeness of relationship between God the Father and God the Son is the analogy Jesus uses to emphasize the closeness the intimacy, the unbreakableness of the bond that the good shepherd has for his sheep and that the sheep have with him. Don't miss that. It is powerful. But there's one last point of interest that we should note here as well. In verse 17, Jesus says this, "Therefore, my Father loves me because." Therefore, my Father loves me because. Why does the Father love him? Because. Because of why? Because I lay down my life in order that I may take it again. The love of the Father for Jesus is here expressed in terms of the Good Shepherd's, I'll use a fancy word, mediatorial work. This is not speaking about the eternal, unbreakable love between God the Father and God the Son in God the Holy Spirit. Rather, this is speaking about the Father's love for the Son who has become flesh and is the Good Shepherd carrying out the commission which has been entrusted to him, gladly received by him, and that the love of the Father for Jesus as the Good Shepherd in his mediatorial work on behalf of the sheep comes with a reward. Think about it in terms of Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It is there that we have perhaps this explained a bit more clearly. Here, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore," and it's this therefore which is parallel to the love which is spoken of in John chapter 10. "The Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." And in Philippians chapter 2, we read, "He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the love of the Father in light of the mediatorial work of God the Son, become man, the Good Shepherd of the sheep. And so, we've seen in this passage what it means in terms of verses 11 through 18. And now the natural question is, so what? So what? What should you do with this? Well, let's see if we can summarize the doctrine and then apply it in multiple ways. What would a summarization of the doctrine of what we have just seen in verses 11 through 18 sound like? It might sound like this. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the good shepherd of his sheep, and he cares for them like no one else. And he proves this by giving himself for his sheep and giving himself to his sheep. Now, more can be said than just that long sentence which I just shared with you. But I believe that captures a good bit of what Jesus has said in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, that he alone is the good shepherd of his sheep, and he cares like no one else does for them, and he proves it by giving himself both for them and to them. So if this is true, and it is, because God has said it, if this is true, then a number of applications follow. And let's see if we can't apply them over the next number of minutes. First, If this is true, you individually, you must see to it that you are one of his sheep. You must see to it that you are one of his sheep, that you might benefit from such exquisite care, rooted in the eternal counsels of love and the everlasting covenant. You must see to it that you personally belong to him as one of his sheep. Think of verses 19, 20, and 21, which follow. Jesus has made the statements, the declarations, which we have just heard with our own ears, and what happens? There's a division amongst the people. The people are divided. One group says in verse 20, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you keep listening to him? Another group says, these are not the words of the man demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And the expected answer is, of course not. And so there's a division. As this great truth that Jesus Christ alone is the good shepherd of his sheep and that he cares like no one else cares for them, and he proves this by giving himself for his sheep and to his sheep, the first application is you must make sure you belong to him as one of his. Because there are ones who do not belong to him. And that is a hard saying, and it is a troubling saying. But it is even more troubling to consider that if you don't know him and you are not belonging to him, that on the last day you will hear from him these words, depart from me, for I never knew you. And so, you today must see to it that you belong to him as one of his sheep. There are ones who don't. May that not be you, not anyone here today. And the corollary is there are ones who do belong to him. There are ones who are his sheep. There are ones who belong to him whom he has come for. And what does 2 Peter chapter 1 challenge you to do in light of the truth that God has given unto his Son a people to redeem? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, God says this, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. You see, the doctrine of God's eternal election doesn't allow anybody to sit back and say, well, if I'll be saved, I'll be saved, and if I won't, I won't. Rather, there's a call to you today to make sure your calling and election, that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ as one of his sheep whom he cares for. Oh, you might be tempted to say in your heart of hearts, who cares? But here is the one who cares, and his care you desperately need. Secondly, if Jesus calls you his sheep, we've got the first application sorted out. I'm one of his sheep by his grace, and my only hope is in him. If Jesus calls you his sheep, then this means that you belong to him. Now, this has very practical ramifications, doesn't it? If you are one of Jesus' sheep, then you belong to him. You have been given to him by the Father before you ever were born. And we learn from this who to boast in. Not in ourselves. Romans chapter 9 says it is not of him who runs. It's not of him who wills. I made the right choice. But it is of God who shows mercy. And therefore, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. You see, if Jesus calls you his sheep, then you belong to him. You have been given to him by the Father from before the foundation of the world. And everything depends upon God's grace and love and mercy, and therefore boast in him. Boast in him. And remember that you do not belong to yourselves. Your time and your talents do not belong to you, because you belong to the Good Shepherd. Your revenues and your resources do not belong to you, because you belong to the Good Shepherd. Your life and your labor does not belong to you, because it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you belong to him. Your all, your activities, does not belong to you. They do not. Rather, everything about you in body and soul belongs unto the Lord by God's sovereign election and by the good shepherd's purchased price for you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong unto him. And so, a third point of application. If Jesus calls you his sheep, then this means he is your shepherd. You say, well, of course. Of course. But what does that mean? If Jesus calls you his sheep, then he is your shepherd. It means you can say not only that the Lord is the shepherd of Israel, but that you can say with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. What words of comfort. What words of assurance. When all around you is swirling, when everything seems to be going wrong, when you can't seem to put one foot in front of the other, and that all appears as blackness, this great truth must shine through. The Lord is my shepherd. If he calls me his sheep, then he is mine. He is my shepherd. He is the one who has sought me and found me. He is the one who has saved me and rescued me from the wrath to come. He is the one who feeds me and leads me. He is the one who protects me and provides for me. Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give to us all things together with him? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And yet even as you say that, even as God says that to you and puts those words upon your lips, he wants to be inquired of by you to do the shepherding work which he has promised to do. Oh yes, he is the one who feeds, he is the one who leads, he is the one who provides, he is the one who protects. Oh, but he loves to hear your voice asking him to do it. He loves to hear the cries, the bleating of his sheep after the shepherd. Fourthly, if Jesus calls you his sheep, then you are a part of his sheep herd. If Jesus calls you his sheep, then you are a part of his flock. He has led you into his sheep herd. He has taken you by his nail-pierced hand, and not just individually related to you, but has introduced you to a whole relationship to other sheep. And he wants you to thank him for this, that you are in relationship to other sheep, Jews and Gentiles, slave and free, male and female, old and young, strong and weak. He has gathered us into his sheep herd. And he continues to lead others into this flock. And he expects you to receive them, to enfold them, to care for them, to love them because he loves them. You see, if Jesus calls you his sheep, this means that he has made you a part of his flock. Will you not pray for him to bring more lambs, more sheep into the flock? Will you not be willing to be used by him to testify of the work of the good shepherd in your own life? Will you not receive one another as the Lord has received you? Will you not bear one another's burdens? Will you not assist one another? Last Lord's Day, we had a baptism, and we made a commitment. We were charged to commit ourselves to help the Da Silvas to care for the little lamb, Pedro. Identified with the mark of the covenant, the brand of the flock. And so will we receive these new ones who are brought into the flock? Oh, we must be careful to care for them as he cares for them. We must be careful not to abuse one another or take advantage of one another or scatter one another or ignore one another or trample upon one another or push one another, butt one another, kick one another, or bite one another. And we know how easy that is to do. Ah, but he's brought us into one flock, that we might indeed have one shepherd, that we might be one in him. Fifthly, if Jesus calls you His sheep, then that means He knows you. He knows you, and He ever loves you. Think about it. He lays down His life for you in your place. He lays down His life knowing your darkest secrets, your damnable sins, your natural deafness, your native blindness and deadness, your terrible rebellions, your tragic wretchedness, your multiplied failures, and your manifold foolishness. And yet He still lays down His life for you. Why? Because He knows you with the intimacy of love. He has set His heart upon you. And He cares for you, and this is why He has laid down His life for you. But He doesn't only lay down His life for you, He gives Himself to you. He gives Himself to you. Think what He knows about you. He knows your history. He knows your helplessness. He knows your brokenness. He knows your burdens. He knows your hidden hurts and your hurting heart. He knows your emptiness and your every need. He knows your overwhelming weariness and your willful wanderings, and He gives Himself to you to meet you right where your need is. He knows you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. All is love. He demonstrates His love to you in laying down His life for you. Here in His love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the wrath-removing sacrifice for our sin. All is love. Oh, if Jesus calls you His sheep, then He knows you inside and out, and He loves you. Sixthly, if Jesus calls you His sheep, then He says, listen, He says, you know Him. I know my own, and I am known by my own. He says, you know Him. He says, you know Him, and you love Him. You know Him. You know what He has done for you in laying down His life for you on Calvary's cross. You know what He has given to you, pardon and purpose, forgiveness and fellowship, cleansing and caring, light instead of darkness, hope instead of despair, life instead of death. You know what He has done for you, but you don't only prize what He has done for you, but you, listen, you prize Him. Every week we come to the Lord's table, either in the morning or in the evening, and Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Not just of what I've done. Remember that too. But remember me. Remember me. Oh, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is not on earth that I desire besides you. Jesus says, if you are His sheep, He says, you know Him. You love Him. Don't let that love grow cold. Don't forget your first love. Oh, but may it be rekindled today. May it be rekindled today. Seventhly, if Jesus calls you His sheep, then you will be led to where He is. More specifically, He will lead you to where He is. And where is He? He is indeed enjoying His reward at the right hand of the Father, wherein all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to Him as the God-man on your behalf. And He is leading you right now. He has led you off of the broad path, which leads to destruction. He has placed you on a particular path according to His special providence, the narrow path, the difficult way, which leads unto life everlasting and indeed leads to the pleasures which are forevermore at His right hand. And He is leading you. He is leading you, and that He intends you to come where He is, that you too might enjoy His reward and you too might bask in His presence. And we ask the question, how does He lead? Well, He leads by His Holy Spirit through His Holy Word. He constantly reminds you where you came from, a brand plucked out of the fire, how you got here into the flock by the Good Shepherd laying down His life for you, whom you now belong to, that you are no longer your own, but that you are His, what He now calls you unto, what He now provides for you by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word as He grows you in faith, hope, and love, as He grows you in love, joy, and peace, in long-suffering and kindness and goodness, as He grows you in faithfulness and meekness and self-control, even all by the Holy Spirit connecting you to the Good Shepherd who not only gives His life for you, but He gives Himself to you. And so the pathway that He has placed you on is a pathway in which you have a new identity. I am a sheep that belong to the Good Shepherd. His brand is upon me. I am identified with Him and with His people. And this pathway in which your new identity is indeed revealed, not only to your own heart, but not only to the church, to the whole world. This path is a pathway of self-denial because I don't belong to me, I belong to Him. This pathway is a pathway of forsaking sin. This pathway is a pathway of turning your back on self-will and self-determination. This is a pathway in which you count the cost, and having calculated it on God's calculator, you can say, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." And you know it's true and amen, because it's in Jesus. You see, this all demonstrates that He cares. That He cares like no one else. That He cares like no one else can. That He cares. And you may say, "Oh, if I'm a sheep, that means I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to go astray. I'm prone to have fears and to be easily spooked and to be skittish. I'm vulnerable. I'm weak. I'm defenseless. I'm in need of constant care because I'm so apt to follow the crowd instead of following Jesus. Oh, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above." Is that not the cry of the sheep? Of you who see your own weakness, your own proneness, your own helplessness, but your own shepherd. And so who cares? I tell you today, make sure you are one of His sheep. Look to Him. Be saved. Enter through the door. Feed upon Him as the bread of life. Let His light, the light of the world, shine into the darkness and reveal Himself to you, and trust in Him and in Him alone, and you will know care like no one else ever could. For He cares for His own. Is this not why God says, "Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you"? Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, "To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen."